Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Faith Alive, inspiring talks from the finest Catholic speakers. Today, from the 2018 Catholic Men's Conference in Columbus, Ohio, the leadoff speaker, Jeff Cavins. Here's the MC, Matt Palmer, with the introduction. Enjoy.
Jeff Cavins and his wife, Emily, have three daughters and a grandson. Jeff is a nationally known public speaker whose engaging style of teaching has helped hundreds of thousands of Catholics grasp a better understanding of the faith through the scriptures. Jeff has hosted the live TV program My Life on the Rock on EWTN and has a daily radio program Morning Air on Relevant Radio. He's written several books published through Ascension Press and Franciscan Media. He's led pilgrimages for 30 years. Over the past several decades, Jeff has dedicated his life to developing something called The Great Adventure, a journey through the Bible. It's an interactive Bible series program that helps all of us see the big picture of God's plan for our lives through Scripture. I love one of Jeff's quotes on his website. The Bible is a story about the Father's unfailing love for you, a love that you are now called to share with others. I can't imagine a better quote to bring him onto the stage with. Would you welcome our brother in Christ, Jeff Cavins?
Thank you. What a privilege it is to be here with you today. It wasn't too long ago that I was here with a whole group of women. And to look out here and see all of these men now is absolutely incredible. And I want to commend you for taking some time out of your schedule to come here and to gather with other men so that we can gain a collective vision of what God is calling us to. And then we can be like iron sharpening iron, and we can go out and make a difference in the world. I want to thank the organizers. They've done such a phenomenal job of organizing this, and it takes an awful lot. But I pray that there will be fruit from this in terms of you going out and having a powerful impact on the world. A couple updates on my bio. One is I've got two grandsons, Francis and Dominic. And I have a granddaughter on the way in May. So we're excited about that. We have three girls, one married, and she's the one with the children. And yay. And we live in Minneapolis, and I'm going to be leaving today probably around noon, sometime around noon or so, because we're expecting 10 more inches of snow later on today with a blizzard. You're clapping because you don't get snow here, right? I want to open up with prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together. What I have to share with you this morning is so near and dear to my heart, and I believe so central for men to become heroic followers of Christ, that if you miss this, I think you're going to miss the call on our lives, and that is to be disciples of the Lord. And if we're going to cast our nets out there and we're going to go deep and we're going to bring other people to Jesus, we've got to start with ourselves and ask ourselves if we indeed are disciples of the Lord. And I want to kind of cast a vision for you of just how beautiful that is and how simple yet deep that relationship is. And so I want to give you some doables today when you leave. Let's pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you today for giving us this opportunity to come together. We thank you, Lord, for calling us to follow you and to be your disciples. And we pray, Lord, that as a result of today, that not only will we follow you, but we will do the works that you do, and the world will change, starting with our own life and our family and those around us. Be glorified, Lord, in all that we do and all that we say and all that we leave with. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. You know, I know every man wants to be a hero. Every man wants to walk in that, you know, heroic virtue. It's like the guy that died and he went to heaven. True story. Guy died and he went to heaven. And St. Peter met him at the gate and said, let's talk a little interview before I let you in here. He said, how have things been going? What did you do? He said, well, I've done all kinds of stuff, you know, in my life. I've been a CCD teacher. I was on the Sweetheart Banquets in February. I organized that. And I was on the Knight of Columbus. I did a lot of different things, you know. And St. Peter said, those are all good, but did you do anything, like, really heroic? He said, yes, I did. I was in a bar once, and there was a girl that some bikers were teasing and kind of, you know, taunting, and I went over and I told him to stop. And I grabbed the biker by his beard and I yanked him down to the table on the bar and I said, leave her alone. And then I grabbed him by the nose ring and I twisted and I said, don't ever do that again to her. And St. Peter said, wow, that is incredible. When did you do that? And he said, about 2 minutes ago. So we want to be heroes. We want to be followers of Jesus. Let me talk to you about discipleship this morning and what it means to be a disciple. Because, you know, as we gather here together, we have different definitions of what a disciple is and a follower of Jesus and what it means to be a Catholic man. For some, it means simply going to Mass on Sunday. And for others, it means getting involved in their parish in addition to going to Mass on Sunday. And for others, it means going to a Bible study or going to Israel or, you know, there's various degrees of what we kind of define as, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. But I want to introduce to you an idea today that really puts everything into focus as far as being a man and following the Lord. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the call on your life to follow him and some of the daily disciplines that really disciples do on a daily basis and how it changes their life. You see, there's a lot of people that are depending upon you. They're depending upon you to do certain things and to be a certain person. My wife is depending on me to be a husband. My three daughters are depending on me to be a father. My grandchildren are depending on me to be grandpa. My employer is depending on me to be a good employee. My pastor is depending on me to be a good parishioner and involved. And so all around us, people have expectations on us, but sometimes we feel like we fall short, that I can't fulfill those expectations, that I don't know enough, I'm not fast enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not wealthy enough, whatever it might be. But to follow Jesus as a disciple really gets down to a relationship with him. And I started my study this last year on discipleship in the Old Testament and taking a look at what is the basic foundation of being a disciple of Jesus. In other words, what is the foundation for me to be the best father that I can be, the best husband that I can be, the best son that I can be, and so forth? What is that? Is it going to Bible studies? Is it watching EWTN? Is it listening to Catholic radio? What is it? And so I went into the Old Testament, into the one book that most of you have studied probably relentlessly, and that is the book of Leviticus. If you look at the side of your Bible, you'll see that area that's well-worn. That's Leviticus. It's that book where you go home and you say, I just got to get more of Leviticus. Most of us have never read Leviticus, because when we start reading it, we start reading all about laws, and we read about monthly cycles and scabs on the legs and all these different things. But what's interesting is that when Jesus was a boy, and all of the boys during Jesus' time, when they started studying the Bible at the age of 7, the very first book that they studied was Leviticus. And the reason that they studied Leviticus is because Leviticus is about holiness. It's divided into two sections. It's divided into a priestly code and a holiness code. And most people will never remember that. But what we should remember is that when you look at the book of Leviticus, God gives the kernel of truth about discipleship that later we're going to see is fully sprouted in Jesus Christ and then demonstrated in Jesus and Paul and others. And that is this in Leviticus. God says six times in Leviticus to his beloved Israel, he says, "You be holy as I am holy. You be holy as I am holy." Six times he says this, "Be holy as I am holy." And so we learn from the book of Leviticus that God is calling Israel to be like him and to be holy as he is holy. And that is a very, very important point. Putting it in layman's terms, we would say this. God is calling Israel, get this, God is calling Israel to imitate him. To imitate him. And so the foundation of discipleship, the foundation of a Catholic man following Christ is imitating God. I am imitating God. That is something that we can all do. We are called to imitate God. Now you say, well, man, that's a big deal. I mean, you can't even see God. God is so big and so powerful. And Jeff, you're calling us now to go and imitate this God. Yes. And we're going to take a look at some of the details of that. But we're called to imitate him. And so what God is doing with Israel, watch this, is he is discipling Israel and saying, hey, guys, act like me. Imitate me. Imitate me. In fact, he says to them in Leviticus, he says, I want you to distinguish between the clean and the unclean. Now, for a man in modern America today, that is quite a task. And we have the opportunity to do that every single day, to distinguish between the clean and the unclean. When we're on the internet, when we're at work, when we're on a business trip on the road, we are constantly called to distinguish between the clean and the unclean, that which will give life and that which will tear your life apart. And so to Israel, he says this. He says, I want you to distinguish. I want you to be like me. Be holy as I am holy and distinguish between the clean and the unclean. And then he goes on and says, don't follow the way of the Egyptians, but follow my commands. Follow my commands. So you can see how God makes it very clear to Israel that if they're going to be his people, they have to imitate him. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, what does God do? Well, that's what Bible study is all about. That's what the great adventure is all about. The great adventure that I teach goes from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and it reveals the Father in words and deeds. And so we as Catholic men cannot sit back and say, I'm called to imitate God, but I don't know what to do. Well, we do know what to do because God has revealed what he does to us. So what does he do? Well, number one, he's a creator. He created Adam and Eve. How many of you have children? You imitated God. You're a creator. You have created. God is calling you to imitate. You are creating. And you can create in more ways than having children. You can be a creator at work. You can be a creator at home. You can be a creator in so many different ways, your vocation and so forth. And so God is a creator. We're imitating God. But what else does God do? God draws together people in what we call weddings. God had a wedding in Genesis. God is about weddings. And he brings together a husband and a wife, and they have children. This is what God does. And this is what we imitate. And so we imitate God in that we are husbands. God is a husband. The bride, we imitate God in terms of the husband and the wife relationship, the Holy Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so If you're a husband and you go home and you tenderly love your wife and you're gentle and you're patient and you're kind, you're imitating God. And every man can do that. Every man can do that, but we can't do it on our own strength. We need his grace. We need his power. But he is the prototype. He is the one who's saying, be holy, husbands, as I'm holy. Be holy, fathers, as I'm holy. Be holy, men, as I am holy, on your business trips. Be holy with your money, as I am. And so we're called to imitate him. What else does he do? He visits the bereaved. He clothes the naked. He takes care of the widow. He takes care of the orphan. And so we see that all throughout salvation history, God is showing us what he does. And as men now, we are called to imitate God, and that is the foundation of discipleship. So if we meet with the Lord every day in prayer, in Bible reading, we go to Bible studies, we go to Mass, we're always thinking, how can I become like God? I think that that's actually simplifies things for men in a much better way than saying, we've got to learn all about apologetics, we've got to learn all about theology, all about church history, all the councils of the church, Latin, Greek, Aramaic, and all these things. Because a lot of men are like, that's right over my head. But the call is, imitate God. Be imitators of God, Israel. And then listen to what Jesus says. Jesus comes on the scene, and this is beautiful. He is the full manifestation of the Father, and he comes to us, and what does he say? I love it. He says, basically, guys, I don't do anything other than what I see my Father do. And I don't say anything other than what I'm hearing him say. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am imitating and doing everything my Father is. In other words, if you see me, you see the Father. That's what a disciple is. That's what a disciple is. That's what a husband is. That's what a father is that someone who fathers like he fathers. Someone who's a husband like Jesus is a husband. I remember saying to my daughter one time, my oldest daughter, she came home from school one day, and I was sitting at the table, and I looked at her. Her name is Carly, and I said, Carly, I said, look at me. And she looked at me, and I said something that was, afterwards I thought, man, why did I say that? But I said to her, I looked at her, and I said, honey, I want you to know that when you see me, I want you to see your Heavenly Father. And she's like, whatever. whatever. I just opened my heart up there, you know. And that's what I really meant. I said, if you look at me and the way I treat mom, I want you to know that that is what I'm hoping that that's the way the father treats his bride. And when I said that, I realized I was putting my life on the line and that she was watching me. But men, that's what we're called to. We are called to imitate God, and we should be able to say to our children, the way I treat your mother is the way the Father treats his church. Wouldn't our families change and our lives change if we did that? Or if we said to our wife, the way that I treat you is going to be the way Christ treats his church, or the way I treat my children is the way the Father nurtures and loves his children. Now, this means that we're going to have to get into the Word. It means we're going to have to get into Scripture. We're going to have to study. But when we do, it's for a purpose, not just to know our faith, but it is that I might imitate. I might imitate. And we want to live one single integrated life as men. We don't want to live two lives. We don't want to live one life at home with our wife and our children and another life at work and on the road. We want to live one life integrated. It reminds me of a joke that I heard that Jimmy Stewart told. And Jimmy Stewart, they asked him one time, they said, what's your favorite joke? And so he told his joke. And I can't tell the joke unless I tell it as Jimmy Stewart would tell it. So Jimmy Stewart, they asked him, what's your favorite joke? And Jimmy Stewart says, well, I'll tell you what my favorite joke was. There was an older couple, and the wife said to her husband, honey, when I die, are you going to marry? And the husband said, oh, come on now. We're having a nice dinner and all, and you're going to ruin it. I mean, we don't want to talk about that. I said, okay. So the next night, the wife said, honey, I got a question. If I die, are you going to remarry? He said, oh, come on, you're talking again like that. I told you I don't want to talk about that. And about 4 or 5 nights later, the wife said, well, I got to ask you again, would you remarry if I died? And he looked at her and he said, yeah. Yeah, I think I would. And she said, well, would you sell the house? No, I wouldn't sell the house. It's a good house. Would you sell our bed? No, it's a good bed. It's a good bed. Would you let her use my golf clubs? He said, no, she's left-handed. So you see, you don't want two lives. One integrated life. One integrated life. Now, let's shift gears for a moment here, okay? We know that, number one, the foundation of discipleship is to imitate God. It is to imitate God. If we are going to walk around and say we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we are imitating him. This is a group of men in Columbus, Ohio, who are endeavoring to imitate Jesus Christ in every area of their life. So the question is, how are we going to do that? Before we answer that, I want to take a look briefly at this quick process of what it means to become a disciple. And a lot of men don't understand the process of becoming a disciple and what that means to be a disciple as far as your commitment goes and what Jesus is going to do with you. Now, some of you might have heard me say at different times about the process of becoming a disciple. And I'll just real briefly go through that with you because I want to get to the point of the call on your life. I was so blessed to have spent about 10 years of my life studying with some of the great scholars in Israel, in the United States, on the Jewish background of Jesus. Jesus the rabbi. Jesus the rabbi and the teacher. And I learned an awful lot of very useful things, wonderful things. And one of them that I learned was the process of becoming a disciple. And it went basically like this. The boys that were growing up were from 7 to 10 years old. They were in what's called the school of the Beit Sefer, that is the house of the book. And from 7 to 10 years old, all the boys, including Jesus, including Paul, including Peter, they learned the Torah, the 5 books of Moses. And they started with Leviticus because it dealt with holiness. And they would study from 7 to about 10 years old this wonderful book of Leviticus and the rest of the Torah. Now, from about 10 years old to 14 years old, they entered the second phase of their education, which was called the Beit Talmud. Beit Talmud. And in that second phase of their education, they went on and they studied more scripture. But they also studied the tradition. But that was only half of their day. The other half of their day was spent learning their father's trade. Because you see, when a young boy would grow up, most likely he was going to do what his father did. If his father was a carpenter, he's going to be a carpenter. If his father is going to be a fisherman, was a fisherman, he most likely is going to be a fisherman. His father made shoes. He was going to make shoes, most likely, but he was going to learn from his father. And so you have this period from 10 to 14 of learning the faith and learning a trade. But then at 14, something really, really special happened. There was a decision that had to be made at 14. And the rabbis would come around to the cities, and they knew who some of the bright students were and the young men, 14-year-olds. And they would interview them and ask questions of them because they were interested in whether any of these boys would become their disciples. Now, I've asked the question before, how many, on average, how many disciples did the average rabbi have in the first century? And the answer is 5. The average number of disciples for a rabbi was 5 disciples. Of course, Jesus had 12. So they had 5 disciples. And about 14, the rabbis would come around and they would interview, they would talk, and they would say one of 2 things to the young men. Now, before I tell you how they said that, it's important to know that the parents back then really coveted the idea of their child being the disciple of a great rabbi. Because a rabbi was a sage, a rabbi was a wise one. And if you were the disciple of a rabbi, it meant that you were going to follow that rabbi, you were going to learn the mindset of that rabbi, and you were going to emulate their life. You were going to imitate them, okay? Just like Israel imitates God, to make disciples, they imitate the rabbi. So the rabbi would say one of 2 things at 14. Either they would say, go ply your father's trade. Or number 2, lech acharai, come follow me. Come follow me. So those were the 2 choices. Come follow me, or go ply your father's trade. So if the rabbi comes around and he gathers with the young boys, and we'll say that you guys are the young boys and I'm the rabbi, and I say, Matthew, stand up. And Matthew stands up and said, Matthew, what does your father do? He says, my father is a fisherman. Is he a good fisherman? He's a good fisherman, Rabbi. And he taught you well, huh? He did. You're going to be a good fisherman too. Now, what did I just say to him? I just said to him, you're not going to be a disciple of mine, but you're going to be a great fisherman, which has dignity and all of that. It's great. Yay. But then I might ask another young man, Simon, stand up. And he stands up. Yes, Rabbi, what does your father do? My father's a carpenter. Excellent. Did he teach you well? He did, Rabbi. Simon, lech acharai, come follow me. You see, to become a disciple of a great rabbi 2,000 years ago was not up to you. You didn't go down to the local Jewish bookstore and get a CD set and listen to it and say, I'm his disciple. It didn't happen. You might have been a fan, but you weren't a follower. And one of the problems we have today is we got a lot of fans, but we need followers. We need followers of Jesus, people who are going to be disciples. You see, the answer to the question, how did you become a disciple, was that it wasn't up to you. I mean, you had to eventually say, yes, I'm going to be a disciple of the great Rabbi Akiva or the great Rabbi Shammai or Hillel or whoever it might be. But it started with the rabbi saying what? I am inviting you to follow me. Lech acharai. And so it was up to the rabbi to issue the invitation to follow him. And the criteria that the rabbi used was this, and this is so powerful. The rabbi would not look at you and say, come follow me, based on your economic status, where you live in the city, what school you went to, the last name, none of that. He issued the invitation to become his disciple based on one thing. Do I think you have what it takes to become like me, to imitate me, to teach what I teach, to live the way I live? That was the criteria in which the invitation went out. Do I believe you, Matthew, you, Simon, you, Andrew, you, Bartholomew, you, Judas? Do I believe that you have what it takes to imitate me and to become like me? You remember what Jesus said? He said, you might remember this, he said, you did not choose me, I chose you. I chose you. And so, men, I want you to know something, that when it comes to casting his nets out there and going deep and bringing more people into the kingdom of God, when it comes to our children hearing the word of God, when it comes to our wives being loved with the arms of Christ, it's going to start with you saying, yes, I will become like you, Jesus. I will take up the call. I will answer this invitation. You have asked me if I will follow you and be your disciple, and I say yes. So I want you to know this, guys, and I'm in the same boat. I'm sitting, there's a blank chair in the front row. I'm sitting right there with you today, and that is this. You are chosen. You men are chosen. You are extraordinary men. You are chosen by the greatest rabbi in the history of the world, the greatest teacher in the history of the world, the greatest philosopher in the history of the world, the most powerful creator in the history of the world. And oh, by the way, he's God. He has chosen you because he knows that you can become like him. But here's the key. You cannot become like him without him. You can't become like him without him. You can't become like Jesus by simply reading, watching, and listening to media. They all help, yay. But the key to becoming like him is to become his disciple and to follow him and to walk with him and to spend time with him, lots of time with him, and to go out and to emulate, to go out and to put this into practice, to drive home from work mad as hell at your boss, knowing I'm about to walk in to my wife and my three girls, and I have to act like Christ. It's not a time for me to act like a baby. It's not a time for me to focus on myself. I need to imitate Christ when I go home. This is what changes the world. This is what changes families. And every one of us in this room can do it. We can become like Christ. Now, every rabbi back in Jesus' day, every rabbi, when they were calling disciples, said, Lech Achrai, come follow me. Every one of them. It was formulaic. People always ask the question, well, did anyone ask Jesus to follow him? We don't know. But either he said no, or they were intimidated to ask him. We don't know exactly. But Jesus didn't follow another one because he was God himself. And that's why the people said he speaks with such authority. Speaking with such authority doesn't mean that you speak with a cadence. You know, I'm talking about God loves you. I mean, that's style, you know. That's style. But authority is that he speaks as the word of God, invites men to follow him, to become like him. And then he says in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then he says the most important thing here in terms of this discipleship. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble of heart. Take my yoke upon you. Listen, every rabbi said that. You know why? Because it was a formulaic statement that rabbis would say to their new disciples, take my yoke upon you, which means when a rabbi says, take my yoke upon you, here's what it means. It means, take my worldview upon you. Take my thinking and make it your thinking. Do as I do. Act like I act. It is taking me upon you. Take my yoke upon yourself. Now, this is where we can get tripped up, is where we can say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus, but I am not going to act like Jesus. I believe in him, but I'm not going to take his yoke on. I'm not going to agree with him in every area. And so when Jesus asks us as men, take my yoke upon you and follow me, it basically means that God is calling you as men to study the way he thinks and act like that. And observe the way he acts and act like that. That's what it means to be a disciple. I am a disciple. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am trying to be a better disciple of Jesus Christ. And there are times where, I'll be honest with you, the toughest time to be a disciple, and maybe you would say amen to this, the toughest time to be a disciple oftentimes is at home. Okay, three of you said amen. The rest of you are liars. That's it right there. That's only because your wife is listening on radio and she just buzzed you right there. So that's it. It's hard at home oftentimes to be Christ. It's easy at the business meeting. It's easy at the Knights of Columbus meeting. But to go home and to be Christ is where it gets tough. And that's what God is calling us to as men. And so to take on his yoke means we're saying yes to Jesus. What are we saying yes to? We're not saying yes that we'll go to Mass on Sunday. That's good. We're not saying yes that I'll take a Bible study. That's good. Especially Great Adventure. We're not saying yes that I'll be on a committee. And that's good. We are saying yes, men, to a relationship. To a relationship. And it's just like if you're married, and you are married, and you and your wife, if you got married and then you did not persevere in that relationship, you stopped getting together, you stopped meeting at the malt shop, you stopped talking on the phone, you stopped, becoming intimate, then the relationship suffers. And in the same way with Christ, we can say, I believe, but if we don't meet, and we don't discuss, and we don't celebrate, and we don't commune with the Eucharist, the relationship suffers. And so, let me give you just a small little couple of things, number of things, that a Catholic disciple, a man who's a Catholic disciple of Jesus, should be doing in his life. If he wants to truly imitate, if you want to imitate God in your life as a man, you have to know his ways. And the chief way that we come to know his ways is through Scripture. It is through Scripture. And when we read the Bible, we are reading a disclosure of God in history. Through words and deeds, we are literally observing and hearing the disclosure of who he is, what he's like, what he does. And it's all very practical. It's below the clouds. And then when we come to Jesus, we see Jesus saying, this is it. I'm showing you totally what the Father is like. And then he says, come follow me. In other words, you act like this too. You be like this too. If we're going to do that, we've got to become people of the Word. And I would encourage every man to get involved in Bible study. Whether it's just Bible reading and doing Lectio Divina or a more formal Bible study, get into a Bible study. And I was telling the group last night that we all cast nets. And the net that I'm casting in my life is one of, I do something very simple. I teach men how to read the Bible with a Great Adventure, and I walk them through salvation history so they get a better idea of the story and who God is. And so that's a good place to begin, is something like the Great Adventure, where you can read through salvation history and you get a big picture. But I would encourage you every day to get together with the Lord, number two, in prayer. And if we're in a relationship with him and we want to imitate him and become the husbands and the fathers that he's called us to, we have to have this relationship with him. And here's what I would suggest, is that every man in the morning spend a little bit of time in Lectio Divina, which is four stages of reading the Word, meditating on the Word, praying about it, and contemplating. It's very simple. My good friend, Dr. Tim Gray, has a good book on praying Scripture for a change. You can Google it also, Lectio Divina. But what Lectio Divina allows you to do at the beginning of the day is to take the Word of God and listen to it and allow God to speak to you. personally. And so number one is read the Bible to get the sense of it, the story. That's the great adventure. But in a devotional way, to read with him every day and to talk with him in prayer every day is so very important. And these are the disciplines. These are the disciplines of a disciple. Reading the Bible daily, praying daily, weekly, going to Mass for sure. As a disciple, we are the leaders of our families. There is no reason, no reason why our wives should have to treat us like the fourth kid. We're the leaders. Let's get our family to Mass. Let's be the ones to say, let's get in the car. On the way, maybe talk about Scripture. We're the leaders. On a monthly basis, to go to confession in this journey of following Christ and becoming his disciples and walking with him, we're going to make mistakes. To go to confession on a regular basis so that we don't allow the venial sin in our life to become more serious and out of control into mortal sin. We should be meeting with other men. When men meet with other men, something happens. Just to see men at this conference is inspiration to all of us. And I believe that's why Jesus sent us out two by two, is that we're not alone, but we're with other men. We should love our families with the spirit of St. Joseph and the Trinity. Very, very important. And I believe that we, on a weekly basis, should be active in serving our families and serving the church. There's a number of things that we're called to do as disciples of the Lord. But let me just kind of drill down into this one really, really important area, and that is this. No matter what's going on in your life right now at work, I know I'm a man just like you. I know you've got work on your mind. If you're retired, you got 401k on your mind. Men think about these things, worried about job security, whether they're going to get that promotion, worried about our children. Some of you are worried about your grandchildren right now who are getting into trouble, and it occupies your thinking. Some guys here are dealing with health issues and maybe even waiting on tests right now from last week. As men, we carry a lot of responsibility and there's a lot on our minds. I cannot think of any better place to go with all of this stuff than an intimate relationship with Jesus. To be able to regularly sit down and talk to him and listen to him and to say, no matter what the health, no matter about the grandkids, no matter about my job, no matter about the financial situation, no matter about the stock market, I'm going to make sure this relationship is here because this is the anchor in my life. This is the anchor of my soul. And that's what I want to pay attention to. And so I want to encourage you to hear the call of God in your life to follow him, to be like him, but to make your mind up too today that you're going to do something, that from this day on you're going to have a different mindset, that when I say I'm Catholic, it means I'm imitating Christ as a husband and a father, and as a generous single man if you're not married. When I say that I'm a Catholic man, it means that I have focus on becoming like Jesus. When I say I'm a Catholic man, it means that God believes in me that I can change and that I can become like him. And when I say I'm a Catholic man, it means that I'm not alone. I'm not doing this alone. I'm with other guys, and Christ will not leave me or forsake me. I saw a great quote the other day. It said, are you going to become a student of your life or a victim? Are you going to become a student of your life or just a victim? Are you going to grow from your mistakes? Are you going to grow from your trials? Are you going to strive to make straight the mistakes you've made as a husband or a father? Are you going to go for perfection, to be perfect as God is perfect and holy as God is holy? Or are you just going to be a victim the rest of your life? It just was meant to be this way. It's the family I was raised in, the side of the tracks I grew up in. I didn't get that college education. Victim, 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 victim. God is calling men out of that mindset of being victims into being sons. Into being sons who become like him because of him. When we do that, I'll tell you what, we're going to rise above the fray in society, and people are going to notice us, and they're going to notice there's something different about us by our love for one another and our passion for Jesus Christ. Not our passion for just what we believe, because how many of you know the world, frankly, could care less what you believe? You go to work next week and say to them, does anyone want to know what I believe? Anybody? They're like, oh, we've been wanting to ask you for weeks. Let's just skip lunch and find out what you believe. No one's interested. But they are interested in how you live. And when they see how you live and how you love and your faithfulness and your adoring heart for your wife and your faithfulness to your children, they're more apt to ask you, what makes you tick? Why are you the way you are? They say, I wasn't always the way I are. I'm imitating someone. I'm following someone. I didn't know if I told you this, but you know what, Frank? I am a disciple of Jesus. And so as I get ready to conclude my introduction here, I would like you for the next week, just for the next week, then you can decide if you want to do it later. Think of yourself as a disciple. Because it's the disciples that are sent out. He brings you in and changes you. He sends you out to change the world. And avoid just saying, I'm a Christian. Just say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I said that at a university not too long ago. They interviewed me. They had a Jew, a Muslim, and a Christian. And I was the Christian. I had my choice, so. So I was the Christian. And they asked the question, and the final question of the whole panel discussion was, do you think your faith is perfect? That was the final one. And you know what I said? I looked at the college students, about 400 college students there, and I said, the Jewish person spoke, then the Muslim, and the first one said, well, I wouldn't ever claim to be, you know, our faith is perfect, or this, that. And then it came to me, and I said, I do. I believe that the Catholic Church is the perfect expression of who God is and gives us the clear, full look at who God is. And I am a disciple of Jesus. And that is what I am trying to do, is to follow him. You know what was interesting about that response? The college students at a secular college applauded. They applauded when I said, I do believe that this is the perfect revelation of who God is. Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church. And we as men, we have the opportunity to live this out. And before I close in prayer today, this morning, I want to share with you just a couple of things that I'm going to be here this morning, but they fit right in to what I'm saying here about being a disciple and following the Lord. And that is this: I have dedicated my life, my wife has dedicated her life, to sharing with people how to read the Bible. And if we want to know who God is and to follow him and imitate him, we've got to know Scripture. And when I was in California not too long ago, I asked the question, and it was a group of probably 1,000 people, and I said, how many of you have ever had a priest, deacon, parent, teacher, CCD, grandparent, anyone, ever sit down with you and show you how to read the Bible? And I looked across that room, and not one hand went up. Not one hand went up, and I said, Guys, this should not be. We should be teaching our children how to read the Bible. We should be teaching our children, we should be going through salvation history to show them what we're trying to imitate. And so this coming year, The Great Adventure is coming out in the children's program. And all 24 lessons through the Bible are going to be put out for children. And the cornerstone of it is The Great Adventure Storybook, A Walk Through the Catholic Bible. This is a game changer. We've got, I don't know, about 100 of them out there or something like that. It is a game changer. And that what we did, and my wife and three other educators, is they divided the Bible up with the 14 narrative books. And in this storybook, it gives you a checklist to read Genesis 1. You go to the real Bible, you read Genesis 1. You come back here, and it's a third to fourth grade commentary, little paragraph on what you just read. So the kids get what we just read, but they saw you read the Bible, or they read the Bible themselves. So you go through the whole Bible historically in 6 months with this, but here's the kicker. In the margins are icons that show you in salvation history where the sacraments come from, the creed, the words in the Mass, the mysteries of the rosary, hard words to understand, all in one storybook. And we've got grandparents now that are getting on Skype and they're on Google and Google Chrome, and they are FaceTiming their grandchildren across the country, and every night spending 10 minutes and reading Scripture to them. It's time for us to be the leaders to bring salvation history to our families. And so I want to introduce that to you today. And then if you've never read salvation history before, Dr. Tim Gray and I wrote a book called Walking with God, A Journey Through the Bible, that takes you from Genesis to Revelation and shows you the basic story of salvation history. Why is it so important? This is what we're imitating. We're imitating God. And then I brought two other books that I just want to share with you real quick. One is Praise God and Thank Him, Biblical Keys for a Joyful Life. If you're having a tough time in life, how do you deal with that tough time? Praise God and thank Him. Practical solutions to difficult times and what God's people have historically done when they were cornered. And then the book that I'm probably the happiest with and I've gone through the most to do is called When You Suffer, Biblical Keys for Hope and Understanding. If you're going through any kind of suffering, physical or in your heart, moral, I want you to know, men, God can use that. God can use that, and it is heavenly cash, and your suffering has redemptive, salvific power for your children and grandchildren and family if you know how to offer that up in union with Christ and imitate Him. And imitate Him. And so all of those are available right on the other side of the curtain over there. Let me pray with you and conclude. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, I thank you for these men who have gathered here today. And Lord, I know that they've gathered because they're hungry and they want to see Jesus. They want to see you. Lord, we hear your call to follow you, to imitate you in every area of our life. We say yes. Yes. Help us, Lord, now to follow through with this, with study, prayer, sacramental life, confession, Eucharist, and spending the time according to the priorities of our life, our marriage and our children. Lord, I pray that you'll be glorified as a result of the transformation that takes place in our lives as your disciples. And as we cast your nets out into the deep, we pray that those around us would be brought to you as a result of the fire that you've lit in our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. Before I go, let me just share with you one last thing, and that is I want to offer you two things absolutely free. One is a new podcast that I'm doing, a new radio show on iTunes. This is called The Jeff Cavins Show. It's about being a disciple of Jesus. And the other is a weekly 5-minute Encountering the Word, a video series at Ascension Press you can go and sign up for. And every week it's a small commentary on the gospel that week. So go out and imitate Christ. God bless you.
That was Jeff Cavins speaking to the men at the 2018 Catholic Men's Conference in Columbus, Ohio. And you're listening to Faith Alive on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. If you'd like to hear this program again or share it with a friend, please go to the special features page of the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. That's stgabrielradio.com. Thanks for joining us today. God bless and have a great day.